The book of John, chapter number 12, if you take your Bibles and turn there with me. John chapter number 12. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is this one, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. It said, "Now Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was this ointment sold for 300, or why was this ointment not sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag." See, John here, in his looking back on this thing, he's given us a clue of things to come. And if you know the story, things to come in the next chapter got a little bit messy with old Judas, didn't they? And bear what was put therein. "Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Now watch this verse. "Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead." Before we pray, I want to ask you this. Why do you come to church? Why do you come to church? Do you come to see Jesus and hear from him? Or do you come to hear your favorite preacher? Or because your friends are here? Or because of some other reason, because you feel obligated? Hey, listen, regardless of the reason you're here, I'm glad you're here. But I come to hear from Jesus. Now let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. We thank you for this time. Thank you for the day. Thank you for Brother Gary and Miss Kathy and their hospitality, and for the church here, Lord, Solid Rock Bible Baptist Church in Blackstone. Lord, what a blessing they've been to me over the years. I pray you'd bless us tonight. Lord, would you have me preach what you want me to preach? Have me say, Lord, what you want me to say, and not a thing more or a thing less. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this passage, like I said, is one of my most favorite passages in the Scripture, and here's why. I preach a lot, and I focus a lot of my ministry on encouraging people to worship. More specifically, including our independent, fundamental, premillennial, temperamental, judgmental, Baptist people to worship. Say, why is that? We have worship services every week. Yeah, you have worship services, but most of the time in a worship service, people sit around like wooden Indians, and you can't even hardly get a holy grunt out of them. Here's why that is. Because years and years ago, a movement, the charismatic movement, came around. And boy, they're over here with their rock concerts and their church services, and people dancing and jumping around and barking like dogs and laughing and doing all those different things. And they're having a good time. Man, they're having a great time. But you know what they call it? Worship. They call that worship. So the knee-jerk reaction to what they were doing as worship is the Bible-believing bunch, the guys that were straight on all their doctrines and stuff like, they came over here and they said, well, we ought not to raise our hands or clap or shout in church or anything like that. We ought not to do those things because those are the things that the that bunch is doing. And what happened when that happened, our churches became dead as doornails. And there's a lot of people, they know the Bible. They know the Bible like the back of their hand. But they can't enjoy God because they're afraid then they might be identified with someone else. Hey, listen, my Bible says God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship in spirit. That's all the way over here. And in truth. That's all the way over here. But can I tell you something? The balance is in the middle. It's good to shout. It's good to raise your hand. It's good to clap your hands. It's good to worship God. But do it in a biblical fashion. Worship in a biblical way. There's no, Bible says, let everything be done decently in order. If you think barking like dogs and rolling on the floor is decent in order, I don't know. You may need your head examined. You may have to edit that line out. But this story here talks about Mary. And this girl Mary here, sister of Martha and Lazarus, she did something here that really not many people other than another woman in the book of Luke ever did. She demonstrated what worship should be. And she had the Lord Jesus Christ live in the flesh. I believe this. I believe she knew who Jesus was, and that's why she worshiped Him. She knew who He was. Say, why? She had a cause to worship. Mary had a cause to worship. You know how she knew who Jesus was? Because she looked around the room, and she saw some of those people that He'd healed. Maybe Zacchaeus, the tax collector, was there. Maybe he was there at the table and he was sitting around talking to Jesus. And maybe Mary had a run-in with old Zacchaeus when he was still an IRS agent working for the government and collecting taxes and stuff like that. Maybe he'd stolen from her. And all of a sudden, one day, there was a knock on the door and said, hey, Miss Mary, I met Jesus, and I just want to give you back what I stole. And by the way, here's fourfold for interest, and I want to tell you I'm sorry. And then she looked around the room a little bit more, and she saw maybe old Bartimaeus was there, the man who used to be blind, who Jesus touched his eyes and made him see. And he was sitting there at the table with all the guys. Maybe that old maniac was there, that old demon-possessed man from Mark chapter number 5. Maybe he was there clothed and in his right mind, and he was fellowshipping with Jesus. And then she looked over and she saw her sister Martha, her bossy older sister, who always yelled at Mary for not working because she wanted to sit at Jesus' feet. And Martha was trying to get a nice dinner together and keep up appearances. And here Mary was, and she's just trying to learn from Jesus. Martha's yelling at her, and Jesus rebukes Martha. And here comes Martha in with a smile on her face, and she's right with the Lord now. And she's listening to what Jesus says as she's serving, pouring iced tea, and she's got a smile on her face. But then she looks over there next to Jesus, and she sees her big brother Lazarus. Her big brother that just the day before was 4 days in the tomb, and by now he stinketh. And then Jesus raised him from the dead, just called his name out and told him to come forth. And here comes Lazarus rolling out, still wrapped in his grave clothes. And he's fully alive. You know what I kind of think? This is Jesse Craigle-ology, if I may. It never mentions Mary and Martha and Lazarus' parents. Anytime you hear from them about them, it never mentions their parents, does it? You never know who they are. Maybe their parents have passed away. Maybe they're just three young siblings trying to make ends meet. And here's Lazarus, the breadwinner. Because, you know, back in those days, the women didn't get to do the jobs like men got to do. It wasn't like it is today. And the men, women were supposed to stay home and stuff. The men were the chief breadwinners. And when he died, Mary and Martha said, what are we going to do? We're going to starve. Our big brother who's taking care of us is dead. And now he's raised from the dead, and they're all sitting there in the house and they're rejoicing. But then Mary thought of her own life. You know what I kind of think? I kind of view Mary as the youngest. She's kind of the wild child of the family. And she, you know, they grew up there in that trailer park there because they had trailer parks back then. That's what original Greek told me. No, I'm kidding. They grew up in that trailer park, and she's out there, and Martha and Lazarus they're doing what they can to survive, and their troubled little sister, she's got a streak of bitterness and a wild streak in her, and she's out there on the streets of that neighborhood partying with her friends, running wild, and so many nights she staggered in drunk. So many nights she staggered in having given maybe a part of herself to some old boy that she didn't even know. But then one day this man Jesus came into town. And this man Jesus spoke to her, and he spoke the words of eternal life, and she trusted him and she believed what he had to say. And from those nights of laying in the bed staring up at the ceiling wondering if anybody even cared about her. All those lonely nights were made better by the King of Kings. She went to bed every night now with her head on her pillow and a clean conscience, and rather than wondering if somebody loves me, maybe she went to bed singing, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Mary looked around that room and she says, oh man, I want to do something for him. I want to show him my love. She had a cause for her worship. Can I say this? You and I have a cause to worship. Just look around you at the people that God saved. Hey, listen, just think about what your life was before God saved you. Think about those times maybe where you wondered if anybody really cared for you. If anybody cared that you even exist. Can I say this? When I was in high school, I went through those lonely times. But then a man named Jesus made it all better. And you know what? I've never thought since then that no one cared for me, because I know the Lord Jesus Christ does. I have a cause to worship tonight. And so do you, because you have a God that cares for you. Hey, listen, you know why I shout? You know why I cry? You know why I get so emotional when I play and when I sing and when I preach? It's because Jesus loves me. Listen, I was on my way to hell, and he changed my direction when he saved me. And he forgave my sins when he saved me. And he gave me a purpose when he saved me. Hey, listen, I got a cause to worship. That's why I shout. That's why I sing. That's why I'm excited. Because a man named Jesus came in and changed my eternal destiny. Hey, listen, that's a reason to shout tonight. You have a cause to worship. But can I say this? That there's a cost to worship as well. You know what the verses say? It uses the phrase in the text that we just read. It said the alabaster box and the ointment with the spikenard, and it was very costly. Now, I don't know where a poor little girl from the ghetto got this alabaster box full of ointment. So if I may just kind of step outside the text again and make up a little narrative about the Lazarus family. Maybe their mama died, and the one thing she left to little Mary was that box of perfume. Hey, do you remember what mama's perfume smelled like? I remember this, the perfume my mom used to wear when I was a kid. And I remember I'd go in her room sometimes and I'd sniff that perfume because that's what mom wore. That just smelled like mom. I go to my mom's house now, and you know what the house smells like? It smells like mom. It smells like mom. So maybe that's what Mary wanted, and because it smelled like mom. And Mary said, man, that's such a pretty smell. And she got that thing. And maybe some of those nights that she was running wild and doing all those things, and she'd come home smelling like beer and stale cigarettes. She'd open that little box up. And you know how women do, just put a little bit of that oil on their wrists and behind their ears. Mary said, now I smell pretty. Now I smell pretty. But she'd go to bed that night, and the next morning she'd wake up and it was wore off. That pretty smell was wore off. Just a fleeting memory of pretty. But the Lord Jesus saved her, and she said, what can I do? What can I give Him? What can I do for Him to prove my love? Because, you know, that's what worship is. You see, worship is like this. I said it yesterday morning, but I'll say it again. Worship is kind of like a dog laying at the master's feet, just licking his hand, saying, I love you. I love you. I don't want anything, just to be near you and show my love for you. Well, I'll tell you this. My old useless pit bull, I'll be in the house and I'll be reading my Bible, and she'll come in the room after she's done eating, and she'll just kind of put her big old head in my lap and try to force me to pet her. And I don't really want to pet her or something. I'll just scratch her on top of the head, and she'll just lay down there in front of me and wag her tail. And if I move my feet, she moves too. She's going to lay right down there on my feet. You know why? She just wants to be close to me. That's what worship is. Just to be close to the Master. Just to show your appreciation for the Master. And here's Mary, and she's saying, what do I have? What can I give that can show my appreciation for the Master? She says, I know. I know what I can give Him. And there she goes, walking down the hallway to her room, and everybody looks at her. They see her get up real quick, and she's walking down the hallway to her room. And she's standing there at the dresser, and she's got that little box. And she opens it up, and she sniffs it, and she says, ooh, that smells good. That smells good. And then she gets overwhelmed with what she's about to do, Brother Gary, and she just starts to weep. And she says, I'm going to go and I'm going to give the best that I have to my Lord, to my Master, to my Savior. I don't know if He's even going to like it, but I want to give it to Him. And she stumbles out through her tears, and everybody looks at her, and all them Pharisees that are there just to see Lazarus raised from the dead, they're not looking for Jesus. And they're looking at this girl, Mary, and they're saying, what is this little brat doing? Here goes Mary up to Jesus, and she falls down. She takes that box, and she opens it up and begins to dump that ointment, that alabaster box of ointment all over the Lord Jesus Christ. And she begins to take her hair and kind of massage it into Him and wipe His feet with it. And as she's worshiping the Lord there, laying down on her knees, oh, my soul, and the ointment, the smell is filling the room. And that's all. It's drowning out everything else. And nobody can smell anything else but Mary's worship. And that wasn't enough, because Mary, the Bible says she broke the box. She broke it. You know why she broke it? Because she wanted to make sure every little drop was given to Jesus. Every last little drop. You know, even the box of alabaster, I was reading about alabaster, and that alabaster that they built those boxes with that they put oils in and perfumes in and stuff. It was very expensive. Just the box could have been sold for some money. But Mary didn't care about that. She just wanted to pour her praise and pour her appreciation on the Lord Jesus Christ. And she wanted to make sure He had it all. What about you tonight? Is there something you're holding back? Maybe you've given Jesus most of your worship and most of your praise. But what better way to show your appreciation than to break the box? I remember the night when the Lord Jesus got a hold of me about my music, and I had dreams of stardom, of being a rock and roll star. I wanted to be the white Stevie Wonder kind of thing. And I remember that night, and I went to hear a Christian concert, and that singer got to singing, and he gave the plan of salvation at the end of his concert. And I was saved. I was already in Bible school, but the Holy Ghost tapped me on the shoulder. And he said, hey, you could be doing that, but you got to break the box. You know what I did that night? Oh, the Lord and I had a little come to Jesus meeting, and I started giving up things in my life that was a hindrance. No, not because I had to, but because I wanted to. Because He was something bigger. Because He was something better. Because He was something greater than what I had. And He said, finally, what about your music, Jesse? What about that thing you love most? I can't use you unless I have it. Hey, Lord. And I broke the box. Poured it out. 22 years later, I'm still pouring it out. 22 years later, when I sit down at a piano or when I stand behind a pulpit, when I brag on the Lord, I'm still pouring the oil out of my broken box. Why is that? Because I wanted to hold a land on Him. There's a cost to worship. Some of you, it may have cost friendships. It may have cost family. It may have cost reputation. I appreciate that. But you know who appreciates it more? The Lord. He says, ooh, and He takes a whiff of that ointment that you're pouring on His feet. Oh, that's good. You know, I almost wonder the quantity of that worship that Mary was pouring all over Him as they beat Him a couple of days later before they led Him up to Calvary. I almost wonder if the man that was wielding the whip, if he smelled Mary's worship still on Jesus. I wonder if as He walked up the hill and Simon followed Him up that hill and He was bleeding and he was carrying the cross, the most heroic effort of our Lord Jesus Christ that ever was. I wonder if Simon walked behind Him just in case he needed to steady Him. I wonder if Simon could still smell Mary's worship. I wonder if the thieves that hung on either side of Him could still smell Mary's worship. You know what He said to Judas as He was rebuking him? He said, against my burial has she done this. Usually you pour the worship, you pour the ointment on after the dead is dead. But Mary did it before He died. Say, why is that? So everybody could smell her worship and know what happened. But can I say this? There's always going to be a critic in the bunch. There's always going to be a critic in the bunch, a critic of your worship. How many times have people said, oh, that church y'all go to is a crazy church. They shout and they raise their hands and all that stuff. And we believe church should be done decently in an order and should be solemn and all those. I know where I'm at. I'm in New England, the home of all kinds of different denominations of churches, and they love their rituals and they love their orders of service and stuff like that. And it's permeated even the Baptist churches up here. They say, oh, those crazy folks at Solid Rock, and they like that loud preaching, and their preacher, he's so offensive when he preaches, and he says things that really aren't politically correct and all those kind of things. Hey, listen, there's always going to be a critic of worship. In this case, the critic's name was Judas. And can I say something? Anytime, mark my word, Solid Rock, pay attention to me. If there's people who get critical of your worship that are going to this church, that are part of your assembly, when they start getting critical, mark my word, they're getting ready to betray your church, they're getting ready to betray your preacher, and they're probably getting ready to betray your God if the truth were known. Well, I said, why you say that? Because as soon as Judas was rebuked by the Lord, look in Matthew chapter 26, you don't have to do it now, Matthew chapter 27, where he's talking again about this worship experience, about what happened here at this house, at this meal, and right after he was rebuked, it said that Judas went out seeking a way to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do people criticize worship? I'm going to tell you why. Because they're not the one getting it. Because they're not the one getting attention. Because they're not the one getting the praise. Because they think that they're more important than the Lord. Critics of worship. I'm always going to end up in a mess. I've got a whole message that I preach on Judas, and I won't preach it now for sake of time, and I don't believe in preaching two messages in one. But listen, I believe this. I believe that when Judas was mad at Jesus, he was mad because he felt like he invested all this time, and he wasn't getting the credit that this little teenage girl was getting. There was that. A cherub that felt that way too, named Lucifer. It didn't end well for old Lucifer either. Matter of fact, it's going to get much worse for him before this thing's over. Critics of worship. But can I say one more thing tonight? Can I talk about the confirmation of worship? You know something, when Judas said his piece and made a scene, you know what Jesus said to Judas? Jesus rebuked him and he said, hey, Judas, don't you know you always have the poor to do something with, but me you're not always going to have. So what did he say? Shut up, Judas. This girl's doing a good thing. You know what it says in Matthew? It says that what she's done is going to be a memorial. And people are going to talk about it. You know what we're doing 2,000 years later? We're still talking about Mary and her box of worship. We're still talking about it. 2,000 years later, we've got nothing good to say about Judas, but everything good to say about Mary. Confirmation of worship. Let me ask you tonight, when was the last time you just told Jesus you loved him? When was the last time you just offered a sacrifice of worship or a sacrifice of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ? When was the last time that you knelt in prayer without a single request and just said, Lord, I want to worship you tonight. Lord, you're wonderful. You're holy. You're awesome. You're precious. You're altogether lovely. And I just want to tell you I love you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for doing what you did for me. I'm not worthy, but I just want to lay at your feet a while and pour my alabaster box of ointment on your feet. Oh boy, but we come to the Lord with our needs. You know something? Martha, can I say this? This is a side note. When Lazarus was dead, Martha came and got in Jesus' face and started yelling at him. And she said, if you'd have been here earlier, Jesus, this wouldn't have happened. Lord, it's a fine time for you to show up. You know what Mary did? She came out and she fell down and worshiped him. Can I say this? You get better results at his feet than you do in his face.